Take care to guard against all greed. These are tough words from Jesus, aren't they? Because if we're honest with ourselves, there isn't a single one of us here that doesn't harbor some level of greed, holding on to things. So yes, we all have some work to do. Some more, some less. Yet Christ isn't saying that we can't have good things. Not at all. In fact, it is He who gives us good things, so how can they be bad in and of themselves? The trouble comes when we get possessive about these things. We want them for ourselves. Don't want to share them with anybody. The difficult truth is that He gives these good things to us, not only for our own enjoyment. Yes, we're meant to enjoy them, but also to be generously and selflessly shared with others. And this is the path to true joy and freedom, since this is the path to the things that really matter to God. And here we run into a concept that Bishop Barron often talks about. I don't know if he came up with this term or not, but he calls it spiritual physics. And the more we give away the good things that we have, the more that we give away ourselves, the more we actually receive. It's totally paradoxical to what the world tells us. Take mine. Take what's mine. Me first. You know, take care of number one first. No, that's not what Christianity, that's not what Christ shows us. That's not what the tradition shows us. The more we give ourselves, the more we receive, because we're opening ourselves up to receive the good things from the Lord. And besides, on a kind of a purely practical level, none of our earthly possessions can come with us after we die, so why hoard them anyway, right? Obviously, the rich man in the parable doesn't understand any of this. He's entirely focused on himself. So when he ends up with far more than he needs, he simply finds another way to hoard even more. But he learns a very hard lesson, doesn't he? Yes. However, in today's first reading, Koheleth isn't fooled at all. He sees the vanity of riches quite clearly. And there's a, I don't know if it's still out there, but there used to be a magazine called Vanity Fair. I think it was a women's magazine. Koheleth probably wouldn't be too thrilled with that magazine, right? Just the title itself. How often do we labor and toil strenuously, often with anxiety of heart, in order to get more of the good things of this world? And yet we're never satisfied with them. We always want more and more, but it's never enough. Plus, we eventually have to surrender them over to others, as Koheleth reminds us. This, in and of itself, is vanity. Also, how often do we ground our identity in our work and in our possessions and our worldly accomplishments? If somebody asks, who are you? What are you all about? What are you going to say? I'm a lawyer. I'm a carpenter. I'm a nurse. I'm an engineer. That's what we're going to say, right? Or do you say, oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm a beloved child of God. And then they're going to look at you like, what are you talking about, beloved child of God? That doesn't mean anything. But it does. That's our true identity. It's not about what we produce through our work, necessarily. That's part of our identity, but we're rooted and grounded in the fact that we're beloved children of God. That's the core. But when we get it backwards, when we root our identity in things of this world, this too is vanity. Only when we utilize the things of earth to lead us closer to heaven. Detachment, in a word. Doesn't mean that we don't have good things. It means that we just don't cling on to them. We utilize them as the Lord intended us to. So yes, when we utilize them to lead us closer to heaven, then do we experience freedom from these traps that we've talked about here before, and drink in the peace and joy beyond all understanding. Many scholars think that this Koheleth character, is actually the elderly Solomon. He's just using a different word here to describe himself. And so he knew this very well after many decades of vanity. He's perhaps one of the most vain people ever to walk the face of the earth. This is the great King Solomon I'm talking about, the son of King David. Remember, he started out well. He asked the Lord for wisdom, and the Lord gave him all the wisdom. But then I think he had like 1,000 concubines and 700 wives and worshiping idols. And I mean, it got ugly pretty quick. And at the end of his life, he's saying, That's all vanity. It's all vanity. The great St. Paul understands these truths exceedingly well as too, and we see this in today's epistle. And this is an excerpt from the wonderful chapter 3 of Colossians. "Think of what is above," he exclaims, "not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's the identity again. That's who you are. That's who I am. So don't let this marvelous reality go to waste. Don't settle for second best or far worse. Instead, as Paul says, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I was reminded of St. Leo the Great as well as I was preparing this homily. He has, in one of his Christmas homilies, he famously proclaims, "Christian, remember your dignity." He's talking about the dignity of being one of the baptized, a beloved child of God. He says, don't fall back into your sins. Don't go back into that darkness. Remember who you really are and then live that way. Live in that glory of the Lord. To further encourage us to embrace this dignity, Paul continues, "Put to death then the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another." Now notice, well, we're all guilty of one or more of those for sure, but notice what he says about greed. He links back to what Jesus is saying here. The greed that is idolatry. The things that we hoard, that we hold on to, they become idols to us. And Paul's calling us out here and saying, don't do that. And what a shame and a tragedy that many Christians today live this way, day in and day out. We fall into it sometimes too ourselves. The key to preventing this is to never lose sight of the fact that, as Paul says, you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. Again, here's that identity that we have as members of the baptized. The evil one does everything he can to help us forget this. He wants it to be out of sight, out of mind, since by remembering it and living it out, you flourish and he suffers immensely. He doesn't want that. He wants you to suffer immensely and for him to be happy about it. Don't let him win out. Don't let him win. He's crafty, but we have Christ on our side. Recall the summons from Christ last week to ask, seek, and knock. He wants to lavish heavenly gifts upon you. You just need to learn what to ask for and to be open to receive, to be ready to receive what he offers. And remember, he's going to give you what you need, which isn't always going to be what you want, but he always gives you what is necessary. Therefore, heed his warning in today's gospel and don't store up earthly treasure for yourself, but seek to be rich in what matters to God. This is precisely what today's psalmist is getting at when crying out, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart." That beautiful wisdom of heart we mentioned that Solomon had as a very young man when he asked the Lord. That was the one thing he asked for from the Lord. He had that wisdom. He let it go. He forgot how to number his days aright. And now he's lamenting at the end of his life that he took that wrong path. Friends, don't be lulled into spiritual slumber by the evil one and his minions. Again, don't let him win. If you chase the things of this world and put your trust in earthly possessions, you will end up bitter, empty, and angry. We see it all around us. With movie stars and sports stars and wealthy people, a lot of them are bitter, empty, and angry. Always grasping for more. Never satisfied. You never will be satisfied either. And you're going to be focused on yourself, on your wants. Me, me, me. That's not a good way to live. Yet, again, this doesn't mean that you need to reject the good things of the earth. Instead, you're called to be detached from them so that they won't control you, but rather are put to use to draw you closer to God's loving embrace. So these goods are meant to be enjoyed, yes, but also shared selflessly. Therefore, put your trust not in the things of this world, but in the God of the universe, the one, the only one who makes all good things and allows you to share in his goodness. The one who delights in you, every single one of you, and thirsts for deeper relationship with you. He is trustworthy, much more so than we are ourselves. Your life is hidden with Christ and God, so live it to the full, brothers and sisters. Seek the things above, the ones that really matter, and allow God to share his very own life with you more completely and transform you into the wonderful saint he created each and every one of you to be.